Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, Chris P. James is our very special guest. He's a very talented and versatile musician and journalist. He was the editor at large for, or the editor, I should say, for Shake Magazine, which was terrific. And he is the front man for the Burrito Brothers, which is a legendary group. And he's the keeper of the flame, along with some others. And a lot of famous people have been involved with that group. He's the front man. He does a wonderful job. He's the keyboardist and vocalist for the Burrito Brothers, Chris P. James. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And I'm extremely flattered that you would have me. Thank you very much.
Well, listen, I'm thrilled to have you. You're, you know, again, you're a very talented guy, and the Burrito Brothers are still alive and well. And I think everyone who knows their music thinks that this is the best carnation or incarnation of the band since the beginning. You know, since those legendary years. What can you tell us about the lineup now?
Oh, how kind of you to say that. Well, it's. As always, if you ever looked up the history of this group, it has changed possibly more or at least as much as any group ever has. It's a very fluid thing where people come and go, but it seems to be pretty stable right now. We kind of finally arrived at a chemistry and a personnel that just feels really right to us, that is me playing keyboards, a little bit of guitar, the lead singing, and a little bit of harmonica. And then there's Tony Paoletta, who's just an absolutely world-class, wonderful, inventive steel guitar player, which is an essential element to the Burrito Brothers, following in the footsteps of Sneaky Pete Kleinow.
Yeah.
And he has that quality of exploration. He doesn't play it. I'm sure he can. He does. Everybody in this group does a lot of sessions in Nashville. I'm sure he can play in a traditional way, but within the framework of the Burritos, it calls for and welcomes an outside the box kind of playing. Sneaky Pete obviously did that from the get go, and it just seems right to carry that template, so to speak. And then there's Bob Hatter on electric guitar, acoustic guitar. He's very versed in the whole, you know, family tree. We think of the Burrito Brothers as following in the footsteps not only of every previous lineup and grouping of the Burritos, the Flying Burrito Brothers, Burrito Deluxe, et cetera, but it even carries over into other groups because there's so few of them still going. The Birds are the parent club, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Hillman and Graham Parsons left the Birds and joined the Flying Burrito. And soon Michael Clark, too. So there were three Birds in the Burrito Brothers at a time when McGuinn was the only Bird left in the Birds.
Yeah.
But,
That's right. Crosby, I think, left first, right? Out of everybody, did Crosby?
Yeah.
He was asked to leave first,
he had a
funny line. He said, I got to watch where on terrestrial radio what he said. He said, I wasn't kicked out for any other reason other than the fact that I was an a-hole. You know, is what he said.
You know, it's amazing that he's owned up to that, because it sure seems that anybody who's followed the whole the biographies and learned about it kind of sees that he was fairly insufferable, and he admits to it.
Yeah.
But
well, the thing is that and good for him, you know, it means he's, you know, whatever he's done in his therapy or in his, you know, 12-step process and everything, he's doing the right thing. He's owning up to his mistakes.
Yeah.
So I mean, you got to admire that. But you had mentioned the late great Graham Parsons. I mean, that's, you have big shoes always to fill when you take on anything like this. And again, you wear it well, as Rod Stewart once said.
Well,
Crispy James, if you're just joining us, is our very special guest. If you're just tuning in your radio or turning it on a little late, Crispy James is the lead singer of the Burrito Brothers, and that's the latest incarnation of the Flying Burrito Brothers, the legendary group that, we just mentioned some of the people that were there and the parent group, the Birds, started there. But what music the Flying Burrito Brothers put together. Frank McKay here with Crispy James. Let me just ask you something about writing. Are you extra careful in writing? It's almost like when you're redoing a book that's not like a James Bond book, a new James Bond mm-hmm. book after the originator passed away, and then you get that job where you have to carry on the legacy and write this new story. All of that being said, you've got to be careful, I guess, to not disrespect the past. At the same time, you want to be creative and you want to put your own stamp on it. How complicated is that?
Well, first off, I love that analogy. That seems so true. That is how I and we look at it. That it's important to carry, I've used the term template before, to carry the idea, the template that was first established back on the 50 years ago, the classic Gilded Palace of Sin and the great Graham Parsons and Chris Hillman collaboration. And times change enough, probably the most obvious way is the quality of recording and even perhaps the ease of recording. And yet I think we've gotten way past any sort of sense that there's a fad or trend to try to climb on board. When we look at the history of the Burrito Brothers, we tend to think there was a little bit of a stumble along the way about midway of these 50 years, somewhere in the 80s, where they got sort of trendy. They sounded like they were chasing getting country hits, which I think they somewhat succeeded at, but not really. And it strikes most of us diehard fans as kind of a wrong turn, that it lost that edgy, hippie, California Bakersfield cosmic American thing, and they were sort of chasing hits and the money thing. I don't think there's any, I've often thought that if I was involved at that point in time, I can't say I wouldn't have done that either. It was a time that kind of sucked you into that. I mean, look at the songs the Solo Eagles did and Miami Vice and all that stuff. It got real trendy and stuff, and 80s MTV type dominance and so I don't claim that I'm better than that. I just don't think we have that anything luring us toward that anymore. And so it's sort of a full circle, kind of able to go back to the original concept. But we get to kind of play it better, so to speak. I mean, it's hard to say that because things are of their own era. But we definitely, we rework. I don't think we've done a single recording that was just some sort of, someone like me or the songwriter coming up with a song and we just play it. We just slap it out. We've really worked them. We've thought about them. We've made initial demos and early takes and then finally arrive at the result we want.
Well, listen, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. You're doing it very well. Crispy James, everyone, is the frontman, singer, keyboardist for the Burrito Brothers. And the album is the Notorious Burrito Brothers. Let's talk about that a little. Frank McKay here with Crispy James. Let's talk about the album. And it's a difficult time to even, not to talk about an album, but to talk about promoting an album. And it's not like you can get out there and play. You're shut down. The whole world is shut down. And if you're listening to this sometime way in the future, guys, we're talking during the coronavirus hit. And look, we're on a bunch of outlets and a bunch of stations, and they they play him at play shows at different times. Somebody, you know, just to kind of put it into perspective, how difficult is this to go about promoting this record while the whole world is on shutdown and lockdown?
Well, probably not. I'm counting my blessings. Probably not as bad as it could be for many. We regarded this album as a work, you know, dare I say, work of art, yeah, that needs to be heard as a complete piece. It really was conceptualized and realized in that form. It's got its beginning, a middle, and an overture type ending, and so it's very satisfying if people will pick up on that, if they'll notice that. And a live performance is a whole separate thing, and we weren't doing a ton of that anyway. I mean, we were open to it. Obviously, we can't now for the time being. And I believe we always did a very nice job of performing live. There's good examples on our website. We're very focused on the idea of this album being an entity of itself. And so that we haven't lost. People stuck at home can check it out.
Well, yeah, and that's the one thing that you have the advantage over actors and filmmakers. And I've been talking to actors all day and all, you know, all morning. I've been interviewing, you know, all these famous actors and actresses, and they're all shut down. So it's all, you know, there's nothing they can do.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't have a love scene. You can't play in front of a crowd like you know, you're not going to be playing plays. You can't hold hands. You can't punch somebody. You can't hug somebody. Difficult to. You got to do monologues. But you.
I don't believe we've ever. Any of us have ever seen anything quite like this.
No. I look. I have. I had the opportunity to interview a well-known author, and she's 85 years old, and she's got 11 books out, and does a lot of historical work. And I said, "Have you ever seen anything like this?" And she said, "No, how could I? There's never been anything like this." And true. I mean, 1918, you had the Spanish flu, and who knows, you know, anybody that would have been alive during that time period, you know, was 2 years old when it happened, or, you know, it was, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
And there's 102 now, and
so,
you know,
that's
who knows?
Not very likely.
Yeah.
There's not.
we're not getting any firsthand accounts of the Spanish flu, that's for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned, I was ready to respond with a little story about the title of the album.
Please, yes.
And it's a play on the classic fifth album by the Byrds, which was called The Notorious Byrd Brothers. It's highly regarded by Byrds fans, often cited as their best album. It's a really cool moment in Byrds history. And the story is that Gram Parsons, that's the one right before Sweetheart of the Rodeo, when Gram Parsons was the new member, Crosby was gone. And so Crosby's kind of half there. In fact, on the cover, they show just three birds, Michael Clark, Chris Hillman, Roger McGuinn, and a horse, where there's an old joke about it could have been the horse's ass. So Gram was visiting a couple times. He was already acquainted, and I think mostly with Hillman. And story goes that he attended a couple of those sessions, and they were joking about for names for the album, that they might call it the Flying Burrito Brothers, which was that a full year before, or even more than a year probably, before the Gilded Palace of Sin, the first real Burrito Brothers album. It was a group performing around L.A., just a loose aggregation headed up by Barry Tashin and Ian Dunlop, that they called the Flying Burrito Brothers, and Graham used to sit in with them. And so just kind of joking around, thinking, what if we called it that, because it's such a funny name? And so that just sort of, you know, got morphed into the Notorious Byrd Brothers. And I've thought for a long time, wouldn't it be a cool thing to call an album The Notorious Burrito Brothers? Because it gives a nod to that whole moment in history and who the mentors are.
That's terrific.
Absolutely. Yeah. I also think that there are, I hate even going here, but there are these people, the naysayers. It just tends to be if Grand's not in it, it doesn't count, which is crazy because the group's going on for 48 years after him. But that will call the group not the real Brute. You know, you guys shouldn't be calling yourself. And so I think also this title alludes to that. That's how we're notorious.
Right. I think it's, listen, I think it's perfect. And look, it's like, let's say Chicago, which, by the way, is a whole different thing. You guys, you know, try to stay true to the sound and so forth. I mean, a band like Chicago has had this kind of success. And you know, I got a nod to them. And I'm not the biggest Chicago fan in the world, per se. But, I mean, you know, over the years, they put together some great music. But anybody that could say that the that every semblance of the or whatever you would call it, assembly of the band Chicago is something that they love, it would be lying. I mean, it would be lying. It's so different. The music
probably
is so,
yeah.
Peter
yeah.
Cetera.
I've seen.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, I've seen someone go so far. You know, this social media, Facebook and stuff, where people spout out their self-absorbed opinions a little too readily. I saw some guy say, well, gosh, I could just start a group of any four guys and call it the Beatles. And I thought, you know, I can't lower myself. I know, I want to respond with something like that. And then I say, let's just leave it alone. But what's so absurd about that is he's citing the most iconic group of all time, in which four people are absolutely essential, known by everyone far and wide, and comparing it to a group that no two albums had the same personnel, who's been morphing for years after years, and has always had new people come in along the way. This wasn't just like 1 year. The four of us decided we're going to now call ourselves the Brute. This is something that just transpired gradually over and over, personnel changes through the years. So there's absolutely no comparison to this nonsense.
Well,
about
that's just silly. I mean, look, you know what? Somebody once told me that that you could take a discontented person, do something for them, and they become happy. But a malcontent, you could never make happy.
Yeah,
anybody that's
exactly.
comparing your situation to the Beatles is just way out of their minds. I mean, it's just
well, there is no iconic absolute ultimate lineup.
No, there's not.
There might be one guy who's seen in that light, and that would be Graham Parsons. But even he was gone after only two albums, and he also said in 1973, when asked by an interviewer what he thought of the group carrying on without even already by then no original members, he said, I think it's great. The idea should carry on whether I'm in it or anybody else. It's got to keep going. And I love that quote.
Listen, you're right on. I should remind everyone we got a couple minutes left with Chris B. James. I'd love to get a part two with him. A terrific musician and a harp player also. Plays some wonderful harmonica, and he's the front man, singer, keyboardist, and a journalist also. He's the editor at Shake Magazine, which was terrific. And if you could find copies of that, hold on to them. Those are collector's items. He's terrific. He does a lot of things very well. Give us a website, media site where people can follow along with what you're doing, the Burrito Brothers, and what you're doing personally.
Yeah, it's www.theburritobrothers.net, and on Facebook, you just if you put search the Burrito Brothers, it'll come up. Actually, I think you can search Google the Burrito Brothers and find the previous thing I mentioned.
Listen, you guys should be proud of what you're doing. It sounds terrific, and and this is the closest thing to the original, sounding wise, that anyone could come up with. And you guys are doing really wonderful.
Thank you.
I'd love to have you on again when we get out of our crazy time, but. Everyone should buy the record. Where's the best place to buy the record?
Well, probably Amazon. I like the idea of people just getting it from Amazon. I've had people ask me if I'd send it, and I'd rather not make trips to the post office right now.
Yeah, right.
So, also, I like to mention there's a song on there called Acrostic. And for anybody who doesn't know the definition of that word, please look it up and then check out that song, because it's an angle that I don't think anybody's done before. And I won't claim I'm so ultra bright and brilliant that I knew all about it. What happened was one day I saw that word and thought, you know, I don't really know what that means, and looked it up and thought, oh, well, that would be cool to write a song that's an acrostic.
That's cool.
And so,
Well, listen, I'm going to look it up myself as soon as you, as soon as we hang up. Terrific job on all of this, and congratulations on the album, and you guys sound terrific. Just keep doing what you're doing, and let's catch up again for a part two.
Well, thank you so much, and like I said at the start, it's so flattering to get to do this with you, and appreciate it very much.
You're the best. Crispy James, everyone, lead vocalist, frontman for the Burrito Brothers. The Notorious Burrito Brothers is the name of the album.
Yes.
Everyone get that. And terrific album. And every, they keep the keepers of the flame, and they should be proud of what they're doing. A great legacy continues on. This is as good as it gets, in this form. Crispy James is a big reason why. Lead singer, frontman, keyboardist, and journalist as well. Notorious Burrito Brothers is the name of the album. The name of the band is Burrito Brothers. And we'll see you all next time on Breaking
Down. Thank you, Frank.